Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi, that's vi.com.
BuzzFeed reporters Anthony Cormier and Jason Leopold couldn't believe what they were seeing. Secret government documents showing suspicious banking transactions all over the globe.
Gold, diamonds, oil, every sector of the economy is besmirched by this dirty money.
Get the full story on suspicious activity inside the FinCEN files. A new podcast available on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows. All episodes are available now.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
The Ask Dr. Ernst Show is presented by Dr. Aaron Ernst, a board-certified chiropractic physician specializing in spinal correction, nutritional coaching, and cellular detoxification, and is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek a qualified healthcare professional before changing your health program or embarking on a new one. Visit AskDrErnst.com for more information.
It's time to transform your health with one of the nation's leading and growing authorities in total health. Over the next hour, learn from experts on how to revolutionize the health of those you love most. This is Ask Dr. Ernst. And now, here's your host, Dr. Aaron Ernst.
Good afternoon. Happy Saturday. What an absolutely beautiful opportunity that I have to come to you today. It's the show where pounds are shed, disease is dead, and where you can be set free from your health problems. Thus, the Ask Dr. Ernst Show. Hey, first of all, for our longtime listeners, I apologize about last week. Yes, it was a replay. Yes, you heard the show before. I had a bit of a personal matter that I had to address and, you know, couldn't do the show. So we did replay the previous week about glyphosate, about the most dangerous toxin on this planet. It's in the food, the water, sometimes even the soil, and how it affects your health. So all of our longtime Ask Dr. Ernst advocate viewers and listeners, you weren't incorrect. It was a replay, but I'm back. I'm in the studio. We're live. We have an awesome show for you today. So here we go. Let's get this thing on the road. My topic of the hour is something that came through as an email over the last couple shows with people saying, when can you talk about what are we actually supposed to eat? Like, what is a good diet, Dr. Ernst? Is a good diet this or is it that? And what I wanted to do is come to you with this idea of what really is good food. But I got to talk to you about something. You don't want to eat good food, G-O-O-D. You want to eat what I call God food, G-O-D. Yes, you heard me right, God foods. And so we got to talk about this idea of what is a God food versus a good food. And I'm going to tease you in this opener for today's show. A lot of what you think is healthy is not. And I'm going to give you an analogy that might even make your mind hurt a little bit. It's okay. We'll go through it today. You're going to make it. But beets are not good foods. I'm sorry, God foods. They are good foods. But you don't want good food. What? Am I hurting your mind already? Am I confusing you? Carrots, potatoes, broccoli, squash, banana, dates, kiwis, apples, pineapples. Even things like corn and, you know, rice and oats. You might think they're good for you. I'm going to share a secret with you. Food today is not the food from 1,000 years ago, nor was it the food from 10,000 years ago. Almost every food product you know of today has been hybridized. We got to talk about that. What is hybridization? Is it good or is it bad? And what does it mean for your health? So I'm going to start today with a quote from a book. Maybe some of you know this. The chapter is Genesis. The verse is 29, and it says, "Behold, I, God, have given you every plant yielding seeds that is on the surface of the earth, and trees that bear fruit yielding seeds. It, those two, shall be food for you and for the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and everything that moves on the earth that has life. I give green plants for food. Now, everything that was moving also includes humans. So we can eat green plants. We can eat fruits with seeds, and we can eat plants with seeds. Do you see where I'm going with this? But Dr. Ernst, I love seedless grapes. They don't have seeds. You're not supposed to eat them. Seedless watermelon is the only way. You know how hard it is to spit the seeds out? Yeah, but you know, you're not supposed to eat that. That's fake food. What? Now listen to this. I'm going to go rogue on you. Ready? Did you know that carrots are not supposed to be orange? Neither is cheese. What? Okay, listen to this. Carrots themselves are an accident of hybridization between potentially Queensland lace and a wild yam. And the result first was poisonous. So then they kept tinkering with the hybridization, not genetically modified hybridization, and they finally came up with a yellow, orangish carrot. And so people started saying, like, ooh, this is better. It grows easier. It's taller. It's tastier. It's sweeter. We'll call these carrots. So the orange carrot you know is not the original carrot. Somebody use the chat box. Let's see if you guys are paying attention. Down there, chat, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever we're streaming, what color are carrots supposed to be? You can put a bunch of question marks if you don't know. You can put that little emoji, because you know what I'm talking about, the one that's like, excuse me. Put that if you don't know. But carrots are supposed to be somebody. Let's see. Man, nobody. All right, I'm going to have to give it to you. White or purple, not orange. This is what I'm talking to you guys about. A carrot is a good food, but you don't want to eat good foods. You want God foods. Purple carrots, that's the original. White, a parsnip, the original. So that is a food you should eat. What about bananas? When's the last time you crunched on a banana seed and went, ah? If you find them in the wilds, yes, but here, no. What about dates? What about kiwis and apples and pineapples and citrus and grapes and papaya and watermelon? I'm reading a list of you of the most commonly hybridized fruits. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Okay, what about the vegetables? Beets, carrots, potatoes, broccoli, squash, and soy are fake. They're good, but they're bad. What about this? Corn, rice, wheat, alfalfa, sprouts, oats, and all beans. Bad. Because they're hybridized. They're not original. I guarantee you the apple that Eve ate during the original fall did not look like the apple you think of today, because those are fake hybridized. Okay, so today I'm going to tease you. We have to talk about hybridization versus genetically modified foods and why some of you are eating well and not getting results because you're not eating God foods. You're eating good foods, which is not good for you. Okay, so we're going to talk. It's a huge show. Oh, my God, I got so much information for you. And listen, I'm going to throw out a special offer. Okay, this is the first time I've done this in who knows how long. But you get, if you call in today, a direct one-on-one consultation with me at no cost. Over the phone, we can talk. And listen, we're going to go longer than what we normally do. It used to be 15 minutes, but I will go up to a 25-minute conversation. That's more than I ever give most patients. 25 minutes direct one-on-one phone call. How do you do that with me? 704-906-2094. 704-906-2094. Or head on over to askdrernst.com/consultation. Easy. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good afternoon. Happy Saturday. You're listening to the Ask Dr. Ernst Show. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Ernst, and love that you're tuning in today. Hey, if you're listening on the airwaves, welcome. If you're streaming this online, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, what else? Whatever we can stream on. We've got this really awesome new camera. Look at this. Look how beautiful this camera looks. Isn't this amazing? We actually have several cameras, so it's going to kind of bounce just like it did right there. See the bounce? And maybe you're streaming on WBT.com, radio.com, iTunes, podcast, however you're hearing us. Welcome today. The show, if you're new to it, has to do with you becoming your own doctor. you know, in this last past weekend, I was dealing with a personal matter, had some family issues that I needed to address come up. So I wasn't able to air last week live. But, oh, my God, can I just say thank you to all of our listeners, our subscribers. You guys sent such awesome emails. Prayers, Dr. Ernst, we hope everything's okay. Let us know if there's anything we can do to help out, et cetera, et cetera. So I really want to say just thank you. You know, I think in the last 7 years, I've never missed a show. I've never had to close my office. I've had to do anything. And then, you know, this comes along. So it was weird, but I appreciate your care and your understanding. So we're back, and I'm coming at you hot. I'm coming in hot. We're talking about food and why so many people try to diet, can't, and they don't get the results because they think they're doing what they're supposed to when in fact you're not. And it's quite simple. We have to go back to the greatest diet book ever. This book has helped more people lose weight than any book I've ever read. This book has helped people to heal. And yeah, it's the Bible. So it would be the, what would we call it? The owner's manual for your life. Like, it seriously tells you what to do and what not to do to stay healthy. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. I sound like I'm a preacher. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. Okay, I'll just read it to you. Ready? Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth. So again, remember, plant yielding seeds. Every tree that has fruit yielding seeds, it, those two, shall be your food for you, humans, and to every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I give green plants. And it was so, period. Okay, so we were mostly vegetarian and fruitarian. In fact, actually, we were. We didn't eat animals originally. And then we can go into the debate about the fall of man, and then we can talk about the flood and Noah and the animals. Were they really on board to help the species continue, or were some there for food temporarily? That's a whole nother subject. That'd be a fun one, though. But look, basically, you're supposed to eat God foods, G-O-D foods. The problem is today you eat good food, but that's not God food. And we talked at the top of the hour about how there's this process known as hybridization, which is using the natural pollination methods. And you can put the word natural around it because it's not forced genetically, but it is sort of forced naturally. So it's not natural for queens and lace to pollinate a wild yam plant and have a product that looks like a carrot. And yet that is supposedly how carrots came about, that are orange, not white or purple. So think of it like two plant species that are not cross-compatible but could be. Their pollen mixes because it's forced, and then the outcome, the baby, is this new food that didn't exist before, hybridization. And I talked to you about how there are a lot of fruits that have been hybridized. Anytime you have a seedless anything, that's a hybrid. So seedless watermelon, seedless grapes, seedless bananas. What else is seedless? Anything else? That's about it, right? Do I have a seedless apple yet? I don't think they do. So seedless is hybridized. Bad. But Dr. Ernst, it's good. I don't have to worry about all the mess of the seeds. Yes, but it's not a real food. Now, some of you are going to challenge me on this. Bring it. Give me the emails. I welcome them. But you can't deny the fact that a hybrid is something that was forced to be made. Now, look, you and I are hybrids. Okay, but we weren't. Well, we were kind of forced. But, you know, you understand the analogy. Your mom and your dad came together and agreed to hybridize themselves to produce you. So you're a hybrid. And that's okay for human beings because you need the genetic diversity to come about. But when a scientist sits in a lab and says, hey, I'm going to take this apple, and I'm going to take that tomato, and I'm going to make a tomapple. Okay, that's a hybrid. So the genetic information can be cross-compatible using hybrids. And that's, you know, good, okay, it's natural. But it's not a God food. Now, here's where it gets really dangerous. Ready? What if we don't cross-pollinate? We force the DNA to be different. And you guys have heard about this, right? Called genetic modification of foods, GMO. There's this big movement going around that says, say no to GMO, because it rhymes and it's, you know, colloquial and it sounds cool and it's, you know, trendy. But there's truth behind this. You really need to pay attention now. Hybridized foods are good foods. Not God foods, but GMOs are alien foods. They're monstrosities. They are a blatant change of genetic information such that they can get something better. Certain things that have been genetically modified include certain fish. There are genetically modified salmon that are built to be four times the size of a regular salmon. And how do they do that? Well, they took some genes from some tomatoes and they put them into the salmon genes. I don't know about you, but a tomato never comes up to a salmon and says, "Boy, you're looking good. You want to meet in the back?" No, it doesn't happen like that. So the scientists take the genes from one species that's completely non-compatible. They genetically insert it, and the fish or the food or the whatever, the sheeps and the goats now make weird stuff, or they grow big. Because you don't buy fish by the slice, you buy it by the pound. You don't buy beef by the slice, you buy it by the pound. If I can make a fish that weighs four times what it should, I can make more money. But now the question is this, is it safe? And we got to talk about that, right? So genetically modified foods are those that have been spliced using this technology called CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, which is a way of taking DNA from one species and putting it into the DNA of another species. So you have this modified monster. Listen, don't eat genetically modified fish. How do you know if it's genetically modified? Most farm-raised salmon is genetically modified. How would you know if a food product is genetically modified? Well, see, now it gets risky because they're not required to label it. You will know if it's not genetically modified because companies will actually stand and take a stance and put a stamp on their food product that says, verify non-GMO by the non-GMO project. That's great, but there's no, hey, we are genetically modified. They don't do that. They just don't say. So here's the golden rule. If it doesn't say it's not genetically modified, then you should assume that it is. And if it's a fruit or vegetable where you look at the sticker, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like the PLU sticker. Okay, if it starts with an 8, throw it away. They're actually telling you this is genetically modified. So if you saw like an apple that says 8336 or 8279, that is genetically modified. Run. Nearly two decades now after genetic modification has started, crops in your grocery store are very commonly genetically modified. And human studies are only just now starting to begin going, hey, you know, this isn't a good idea. Like when a human being eats that genetically modified salmon that weighs 10 times what it should, all of a sudden human beings start weighing 10 times what they should. Why? Because we're going to break the DNA, the proteins and all this stuff down. And what if the gene that you use to make the modification gets into the human body? You know, there's this thought, well, it can't affect anything because it wasn't genetically inserted. Yeah, but if you've got a lot of viruses in your body and those viruses pick up that gene, well, viruses have the ability to insert their DNA into your genes. And so we open up this can of worms. Okay, listen to this. In 2009, an article was published in the journal Nature Biotechnology. It was by Emily Waltz. You can Google this if you want. So 2009, Nature Biotechnology, Emily Waltz said, quote, "The crop industry's strong arm tactics and close-fisted attitudes to sharing seeds is holding back independent research and undermining public access to transgenic crops." Now they use this fancy word, transgenic, which means a genetically modified food product. Scientific American, the magazine, said, yes, quote, agritech, meaning it's actually a technological company that now makes these genetically modified seeds, has given themselves the ability to veto work from independent researchers to disprove that genetically modified foods are dangerous. So basically, agritech is a new word that you need to learn about. These companies are saying, stop, you can't research this. It's not possible for you to prove that this is bad. Why? Well, they own the patents to everything. They own the seeds. They own the farms. They own the crops. They own the spray. They own the Roundup. They own the products. They own everything. And they're like, we don't want you to jeopardize our mission, which is to make a lot of money solving world hunger. I mean, it sounds good, doesn't it? Hey, you can plant a tomato that's 10 times the size. So for the same acreage of of cropland, you can feed your whole village now. Or, you know, you have these corn cobs that are 16 times the size. You know, it sounds like a good idea, but then you got to wonder, well, why wasn't it originally that way? Why didn't God make the tomato that big? Okay, so not surprisingly, not very much permission has been given to allow for the studies, except for those who are paid independently to come up with a GMO index, as it's called. Okay, so in 2011, so I'm just giving you guys some history, in Science Direct, which is a study, they found out that conflict of interest in the research supporting GMO was so high that they said 100% of studies that say GMO is safe are funded by the very companies that are producing the genetically modified food. That'd be like, I don't know, Ford coming up with their own safety studies and saying, well, in all studies that we ran, it's safe. Well, you own the vehicle, so you're going to say it's safe because you want to sell it. So independent studies are really important. So what happens if a company independently is studied and they find out that all their products are bad? It doesn't sound good. But here's the issue with all this. Your price that you're paying is your health. So when we come back, I'm going to share with you more about the monstrosities of GMO. What are the dangers of you eating corn chips that are genetically modified? Because I guarantee you, you are eating genetically modified foods. You just don't know it. But you're paying the price. Your energy's going south. Your weight's going up. Your mind's falling apart. Mucus is coming out of every orifice. And you've got problems with your health because you eat good foods, not God foods. Hey, it's the Ask Dr. Ernst Show. As this commercial is rearing its head, I want you to do this. I'm offering a 25-minute, no-cost consultation with myself to discuss your health needs and find an answer for your health holistically. It is free. Zero cost. 704-906-2094 or visit AskDrErnst.com/consultation. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. The best is yet to come.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Happy Saturday. You're listening to the Ask Dr. Ernst Show. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Ernst, and thanks for tuning in today. We have a hot topic, apparently. We're talking about food and its ability to help you to lose weight, feel better, heal, anti-age, detox, you name it. But the problem is the foods you eat aren't real food. What do you mean, Dr. Ernst? It tastes good. I swallowed it. It gave me energy. Isn't that food? Let's talk. Well, I eat fruits and vegetables. I'm a vegan. Isn't that really good food? Let's talk. My diet is full of greens. I eat no fruits, and I only do healthy grains. Let's talk. All right, so we talked at the top of the hour. I'm piggybacking off of a biblical verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 that says, "Behold, I give you every plant yielding seeds that is on the surface of the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and to everything else that moves on the earth, I have given green plants for food." And it was so, and period. So I'm just starting there to get you to understand a concept that food for human beings is supposed to be plants that yield seeds and fruit from trees that have seeds. And yet you just probably chowed down and enjoyed a lot of seedless items recently. And you may have even eaten hybridized or genetically modified food. So therefore, it is not food by definition. So here we go. How do we deal with this, right? So first of all, it's almost impossible today to not get access to hybridized foods because even the vegetables on the, you know, shelf in the Whole Foods or wherever you're finding, like the healthy food shops, right, are more than likely hybridized. And, you know, we could debate upon this. Is hybridization good, safe, etc.? But I just want you to look at it like this. If a tomato bumps into a broccoli and those two somehow get it on and they have a broccoli mayo and you eat the broccoli mayo, it's hybridized, so the genes have been switched. And look, this happens all the time. I mean, we find it in our compost, right? All of a sudden, we're like, what the heck is this? We didn't plant this. Oh, it's a hybrid between whatever was cross-pollinated in the area. And you get this thing that looks like a cucumber, but it's not. My wife found a cantaloupe just sitting in our garden, and we're like, we didn't plant cantaloupes. Where did this come from? Well, somehow the seeds just landed, and then all of a sudden a cantaloupe grew. So, you know, we enjoyed it. It tasted good, but guess what? It's a hybrid. And so I've got nothing wrong technically with hybrid foods, but yet they're not God foods, so we want to find the originals. Now, I had someone text in through Facebook over the last break and say, how do we know if it's a food that is real or true? Okay, so it's hard. Heirloom is a designation to say that it's a seed that was original from a plant that is still reproductively sound. I'm trying to think, because unfortunately, a lot of plants are sterile. What? Not sterile like they don't have viruses and bacteria, sterile like they can't produce their own seeds to continue their lineage. Okay, so for example, if you buy corn seeds and you grow the corn and then you take a portion of it and you dry it and you reseed the corn and you plant those seeds, they just do not grow because they've been made sterile. Those are more than likely genetically modified, just so you know. Hybrids sometimes can produce living seeds that are able to then grow, but many times, some of you have found this out, you can't sprout them. Let's say you buy a conventional avocado, you know, a classic avocado. And by the way, conventional avocados, they will start with the number 4. So if you see the sticker and it says 3 or 4, it means that they're traditionally grown. So like a non-organic fruit or vegetable will be either a 3 or a 4 for their PLU. So let's say you pick up an avocado from wherever, and it's labeled as 4226. Okay, so you eat the avocado, right? Tastes good. And then you take the seed, and you guys ever done this? You put 3 toothpicks in it, you put half of it in water, and you wait about a month, and what should happen is you should see roots coming out, and you should see a little stalk present, and that lets you know that that's a viable seed. It's alive. You could actually grow an avocado tree. But you have about a 99% chance that that conventional one won't do that because it's hybridized. Now, you find an organic one, you spend an extra $40. No, just kidding. You spend an extra 40 cents, right? Ooh, 40 cents. And you bought an organic avocado. Well, they don't always sprout either, but you have a higher likelihood that it's going to. So that's the difference, okay? Heirloom seeds can be replanted. My wife, I don't know where she found them. Some muscadine grapes. You guys know what I'm talking about? Real thick skin, great flavor, but what do they have? Seeds. And most people are like, I don't like them because they're too crunchy and I have to spit it out. Well, guess what? That's a real grape. So we eat real grapes. We don't eat seedless grapes. Why? They're not real food. If you're struggling, go back to the top of the hour and listen to it. Now watch this. I took the muscadine seeds that I was eating and went into a paper towel, dried them, planted them, and guess what? It has been 4 weeks and I still have no sprouts. So they're not viable seeds. If you were lucky enough to find a God grape, you guys know what I'm talking about? A real grape? Probably like a wild grape. Let's say you're climbing through the mountains of, I don't know, California, and you come across like, wow, look at this. It's a grapevine and there's grapes on it. Full of seeds. Probably not very much flesh. That one's probably going to grow. So how do you know if it's hybridized? How do we know if it's organic? The numbers on the scanning barcodes will tell you. If it starts with a 9, it's organic, and those are the good ones. You want to go for that. If it's a 3 or a 4, they're conventionally produced or they're local conventionals. And if it's an 8, you should literally shoot it. Blow it up with a grenade and stay as far away from it as you can because that's what it's going to do to your body. It's going to rip you to shreds genetically. Okay, so not surprisingly, again, as we talked from the top of the hour, there is a lot of debate. Is genetically modified food safe? You're going to see two camps. You're going to see the one camp that says, yes, it's the same. The vitamin content is the same. They look similar. It's just it's 3 times as big. So imagine you got a kiwi that's about that big and you got a kiwi that's this big. Just because it looks like a kiwi doesn't mean it's a kiwi anymore. It's the size of a monster truck. No, don't eat that. I wouldn't. Because think about it. How did it get so big? So what I'm going to do when I come back is talk to you about the dangers of eating good food and genetically modified foods. We've already learned how to identify them. We now know how to get rid of them. We can fix the method But here's what you have to do. You got to fix the problems. You've been eating genetically modified foods for a long time, and they've been wreaking havoc on your body. So let's get you detoxed. Let's get you cleansed. Let's get you healthy. And the offer I have for you today is a special one. It's unique. It's not going to be around forever. Ready? 25-minute phone call directly with me. Zero cost. Let's talk about your health. Let's do some history. Let's figure out what you can do to get well. 704-906-2094 or AskDrErnst.com/consultation. It's easy. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
All right. Welcome back. Hey, maybe you're tuning in for the first time. You're listening to the Ask Dr. Ernst Show. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Ernst, and we are talking about God food versus good food, and how foods should help you to heal. But so many of us change our diet, or we go vegan, or we cut the carbs, we add the plants, and we don't get the results we want. Why? Why am I not losing weight? I've restricted my diet. I've become a paleo-vegan-tarian, and I'm not losing weight. My energy's not getting any better. What's going on? Well, you're probably not eating real food. And we talked about this at the top of the hour. Okay, just because you put it in your mouth and swallow it doesn't mean it's food. Okay? Let's use an analogy. Let's see if we can do this. I'm totally coming up with this on the fly, so we'll see how this works. But I think you realize that Skittles are completely man-made. There is no plant that just gives off that rainbow color of those chewy things. Look, have I had Skittles before? Sure, when I was younger, right? I didn't realize what I now know. If I knew then what I know now, I would never eat them. So guess what? My kids have never had a Twix. They've never had a Snickers. They've never... What? Oh, my God. Child abuse! No. Child abuse is giving it to them. How can you say that? Because I know too much. Where was I? Okay, Skittles. You don't find a tree that just has this pod that just goes... and the rainbow of colors. What do they do? I don't know, whatever they go. Taste the rainbow! It doesn't do that. It doesn't flow out like that. So it's not real food. So yet you eat them, don't you? Mmm, they taste good. All right, what else do we have? Let's see. How about this? Oh, how about this one? I'm going to ruffle some feathers with this one. The Beyond Meat sausages. The Beyond Meat burgers. Oh, the Impossible Burger. It's impossible that you can digest that thing. Like, it's literally fake. Does it taste like meat? Sure. Does it look like a hamburger? Yes. If you cook it and you squeeze it, will red juice come out? Sure. Beet juice, apparently. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Have you heard about this? Have you? Yeah, right. It's a burger that's not a burger that's made by plants that makes you think it's a burger. Isn't it funny that vegans want to eat meat, but they don't really want it to be meat? A vegan will say, man, I'm a hamburger, but I don't want it to be a cow. I want it to be soy protein isolated. What is that stuff called? Seitan, you know, vegetable wheat protein blended with carrot juice and I don't know, whatever. You know where I'm going with this, right? That's not real food. Someone sat in some warehouse and said, hey, if I blend this stuff together and I infuse the beet juice into it and we sear it, it actually looks, tastes, and smells like a hamburger. So we'll call these things Impossible Burgers or Beyond Meat. No. Don't eat that. But it tastes good. It's plant-based, but it's not real. Okay, so I think you understand that concept. But then we have to go deeper and say, watch out, the corn chips that you might be eating say organic. They say all kinds of stuff, but what if it's a seed that... Now, that is a bit of a debate. Can a genetically modified seed be grown organically? Yeah. How would you know? How do you know the seed's genetically modified? What about the cross-pollination between a regular real farm and a conventional farm? What would happen if two farmers that were both growing corn had the organic corn next to the conventional corn? Well, these are going to crosstalk, and you're going to get some hybrids. It's all up in the air, guys. It's all a big debate. What we do know is that modification of DNA for plants is not only nonspecific, it's not precise. There's not a lot of research behind it, and I just think you need to just use common sense. A real fish that you pull out of the creek or the ocean that weighs maybe 2 pounds that's wild caught, sustainable, the whole nine yards, and it's real. And then your buddy on the other side pulls up this 16-pound monstrous. Well, maybe he was fishing in the farmed portion of the ocean, and he pulls up this monster, and you're like, wow, look at that thing. That's probably genetically modified, so if you eat these two, they're going to do things to you. Now, what do I mean by do things to you? Listen to this. The University of Washington discovered a second code hiding inside the genetic modification DNA in plants and animals that have been modified. The study was published in 2013, and according to the lead researcher, his name is Dr. John Stamatonopoulos. No joke. Stamatonopoulos. It sounds like Snuffleupagus, doesn't it? Sorry, I have two kids, and so I'm just going to call him Dr. John. At this University of Washington, ready? Said, quote, listen to the quote. The fact that genetically modified codes can simultaneously write two types of information means that DNA changes can alter protein sequences, may cause disease, and might disrupt the control programs for both mechanisms simultaneously. Is he a doctor? Yes. Did he just say something that you went, huh? Yes. So let me translate. The genetic modification of foods might alter your proteins, the epigenomes that you have, and it might actually mess up your actual genomes. So you eat a genetically modified food. Let's say you eat the salmon because it's cheaper, it's bigger, and it's tastier, and it's, more orange because they can do all kinds of stuff, right? They can take the genes from tomatoes. Listen, guys, they take the genes from tomatoes that make tomatoes red, and they put them in the salmon so the salmon looks redder. Weird, huh? Yet it makes it also big because tomatoes apparently can grow big. So you buy the, what's the big boy? Big boy tomato, and you take that gene, you put it into a small, regular salmon. It's now the big boy salmon, and its flesh is really pinkish red, and you go, woo! Looks good. And the wild caught salmon is $20 a pound, and the genetically modified salmon is, I don't know, 14, 11, 9, 10, or it's buy one, get one, because they want you to eat this stuff, so they make it cheap. And you pay the price. What kind of price do you pay? Well, now the genes they put in the salmon are messing up your proteins, they're messing up your DNA, and it could cause disease. Let me put it to you simply. The Human Genome Project was completed back in the mid-2000s, I think. And what they said was this. We're not actually driven by our genes. We're driven by proteins. Why is this so important? You must understand this. If you mess up your proteins, you mess up the expression of life in your body. We are now finding out that DNA does not determine your disease. What? My doctor says that my diabetes is in my family history. He's wrong. It's in your epigenetic history, which is driven by your lifestyle and your diet. What does that mean? That means you ate your way into your current disease. Huh? So you can eat your way out. What you hold on the end of your fork that you're about to put in your mouth is actually so much more powerful than you give it credit. It either kills you slowly or it repairs you slowly. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather repair every day than die every day. A long look at the whole Human Genome Project was published in the International Journal of Biological Sciences in the year 1999. We're going old school on you. Found this. Ready? I've got plenty of time, so here we go. Inserting a gene from one organism into another causes thousands of activations, not just specific to the one gene. It activates non-targeted, sometimes toxic genes to turn on. It affects idle genes, genes that are just sitting there doing nothing with unknown effects. It lowers a plant's nutrient content since the plant's energy is now consumed by producing proteins it never produced before. Fish proteins in plants, plant proteins in fish. It's a lot of energy for a product to be produced that wasn't normal. And I'm reading still. The milestone effect is that they discovered that more than 60% of crops themselves have viral genes inside of them. In other words, when you eat genetically modified foods, you insert viral proteins into your body, and that triggers an immune response that makes your body think it's infected. And here's where it goes deep, guys. Chronic immune activation against an infection that's fake leads to autoimmunity and inflammatory diseases. And that's why we see so much obesity, heart disease, diabetes, thyroid problems, and everything else. We are eating ourselves into a sickly state because we eat what we think is food when it's not actually food. I'll never forget when Dr. Jordan Rubin came to Charlotte and I met with him. My wife and I had dinner with him one night. And I said, what's the biggest frustration you have? And he told me it's when people ask for him to pray over their food. I believe he might even be a micro pastor of some sort. But Jordan Rubin, you know, the Maker's Diet, all this, you know, and he's beyond organic. He's Garden of Life. He said to me directly, he said, the hardest thing I have is when people say, you know, Dr. Rubin, can you pray for this meal tonight? And he goes, no, because we're not eating real food. Pizza, spaghetti, you know, pasta, lasagna. That's not food, guys. I know it hurts, right? But I don't understand. I eat it and it tastes good and it fills me up. Isn't that food? No. Food is food. Real. Okay, what is food again? Let's go to the top of the hour. Here we go, a review. Food is, behold, plant-yielding seeds and trees that yield fruit with seeds and the green plants on the earth, food. Am I saying go vegan? Be careful. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're all of a sudden healthy. I'm saying pay attention to the food you eat and find out, is it hybridized? Has it been naturally altered? And the hybridized foods, again, are bananas, dates, kiwis, apples, pineapples, all citrus fruits, grapes, papaya, and watermelon. The hybridized vegetables are beets, carrots, potatoes, broccoli, soy, and squash. And the hybridized grains are corn, rice, wheat, alfalfa, sprouts, oats, and beans. Now, the genetically modified ones are more ominous because the most common genetically modified foods are the same things: corn, potatoes, papaya, squash, alfalfa, apples, beets, rice, tomato, peas, wheat, oats, and the biggest genetically modified, most dangerous, please tell me you're not using this, canola oil. So how do I identify these things? Ready? If it starts with a 9 for a fruit or a vegetable when you're scanning it, bleep, then it's organic and it's usually safe, sometimes heirloom. If it starts with an 8 and you bleep, you should actually bleep it out of your life. If it starts with a 3 or a 4, it's hybridized and it's not organic. So it's filled with the pesticides we talked about last week. So be careful. Hey, we've run out of time today, but guess what? There's endless amounts of information available for you through our channels at AskDrErnst.com. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Parler, you name it, we're there. And I'm throwing out a final offer. This is it, guys. I'm not doing this for probably another year. A free 25-minute consultation phone call directly with me. How do you get it? 704-906-2094. 704-906-2094. Or visit AskDrErnst.com/consultation. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
No, my watch is broken too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
I stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 Central on CBS.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.